Good morning, everybody. My name is Richie, and I am a grateful recovering alcoholic, as well as a recovering human being. Thank you, Jim, so much for asking me to do service, and thank you for your service. I never turned down an opportunity to be of service to Alcoholics Anonymous and to give back what's been given to me. And my sober date is December 17th, 2023. And I do have a sponsor, and I am currently working the steps. And what it was like for me, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to this group, Men Who Trudge. You guys are just amazing. You helped me out tremendously. And I can't thank you guys enough. So a little bit about me. I was born in Brooklyn in a neighborhood where there were bars on every corner. And I grew up across the street from a schoolyard where on the second floor where I was able to witness all the young guys hanging out in the schoolyard, doing their things on a Friday and Saturday night. And it was a pretty tough neighborhood. You know, there was a lot of chaos and a lot of drinking and a lot of violence. And I found it very attractive. And I couldn't wait to be part of that, you know. Honestly, I don't know why. I believe I was an alcoholic before I even took my first drink. I don't know why I was wired this way. I don't question it. I just accept it. And I drank it. I've been reading the big book, and I consider myself to be a low bottom drunk, a low bottom alcoholic. I don't remember how old I was when I took my first drink, but I was very young. We snuck a bottle of Boone's Farm wine, my buddy Eric and I. We snuck a bottle out of a party that our parents were having, and I don't know if I got drunk on that one bottle, but I sure do remember having that first taste, and like I felt like I had arrived, you know. I was drinking in bars when I was 16 years old. I was sneaking into bars. I hit every drinking age. It was 19. I hit that. It was 21 or 20. I hit every drinking age. So I was in bars drinking, and you know, I used to get drunk very, very quickly. And there were no consequences, you know. But then eventually the consequences started happening. And I didn't realize at the time what I was actually doing, you know. And it just kept escalating for me. You know, I believe now I see that what alcohol was my rapacious creditor. It stole from me my education, my sports. I was playing baseball and football, and you know, I was drinking, and it took a lot from me. I just need to take a minute and pause and pray to God to give me these answers and what I'm thinking of. You know, so my drunkalogue, yeah. You know, I could sit here and tell you things that I was blacked out drinking on my boat with my children. I got DUI'd. I drove my wife, a mother of four of my kids, into the arms of another man because of alcohol. All these horrible things happened to me. We talk about jails, institutions, and death. Well, I've done two out of those three things. And I certainly don't want to die today. You know, I wish I could say I was a first-time winner. I was reminded a couple of weeks ago, I've reconnected with a dear friend of mine. And she reminded me that I was 19 years old when I first went to AA. I had forgotten all about that because she was my girlfriend when I was 18, she was 16, and we've reconnected. And I hadn't spoken to her in over 30 years. Actually, I'm sorry, it's 38 years, you know, so yeah. But I also realized that I needed to go through everything I needed to get where I'm at today. I needed to take every single drink to get where I'm at today. You know, I know I don't feel I'm unique in any way. I know you gentlemen have had these, you know, I go to an AA room and I find it amazing that you say a couple of words, you say hello to somebody and you know more about that person's life in a few minutes than anybody, you know, that's the wonders of AA. That's the beauty of the rooms. I mean, I didn't come down those stairs on a winning streak, you know, in and out, multiple rehabs, divorce. After my divorce, I met another woman and I thought it was a great idea to have another baby. And for 10 years, I took care of my son, Andrew. But alcohol ruined that relationship too. And now he lives in Canada with his mother. But I think I'm done with my drunkalogue. What I want to talk about is God and what God is doing for me today in my life. I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. I come from Canada, it takes me 7 hours. And every time I leave my son, it tears me up. He's 15 years old now and I haven't lived with him for 5 years. You know, the first year of my sobriety, I was not going to meetings every day. I wasn't doing any reading. I wasn't doing this work as it's described as we should. So I suffered for that. My world got bigger and I was uncomfortable. I was riddled with guilt and remorse for the wreckage that I caused in my life. My head was just spinning and I didn't know how to live. And thank God that Bobby found me as a sponsor. And I started taking phone numbers and started meeting fellows in the room and you men and this meeting, and you guys have helped me out tremendously. So on my drive home, you know, it was hard. It's hard for me every time. And I got home at 9 o'clock, and this is like the first 12 months of my sobriety. Like, and this just recent, like now I'm 18 months sober. I came home, it was 9 o'clock at night and I couldn't sleep. I just couldn't sleep. So I found that I could have speakers through my Alexa. So for the rest of the night into the early morning hours, I just kept listening to these speaker meetings and they were just fantastic. It was men who took me through all 12 steps. It was like till 4 and 5 in the morning. And my ship was righted. I had a spiritual awakening. I had a God of my understanding in my life out of nowhere. I swear to you, gentlemen, I swear to you. I was like that aha moment, that anvil, like bang, right on top of my head. I had both feet in the boat this time. And since then, God is doing for me incredible, incredible things. Somebody told me God doesn't give us anything more than we can handle. And I used to say, he must think very highly of me, you know, because I had the poor me's, I had the self-pity. But now my God wants me to be a sober man. He wants me to be a good human being. He wants me to do random acts of kindness. I always do random acts of kindness and I never tell anybody about them. And it filled my heart, but now it's different. In the rehabs, I've read the big book. I've done some step work, but it's different now. You know, the words jump out at me. You know, those random acts of kindness have become my core. I don't ever even think about it. It's just a natural thing that I do now. You know, it's love and understanding, and the miracles that are happening in my life, the people that he's putting into my life and taking out of my life. I get up every morning. Gino, our fellow, he gave me this nugget. He does 5 things every day. As soon as he opens his eyes, he does a third step prayer. Then he calls another alcoholic. And then he calls his sponsor. He goes to a meeting. And before he goes to sleep, he does a 10th step. Have I done anything wrong? Have I made amends? And that has helped me tremendously. This morning, I woke up at 5 a.m. and I did something different. I got on my knees and I prayed. I prayed to God for guidance. God is all over my life. I don't just wake up and pray. Throughout my day, I'm just like, give me guidance. This is God running the show, not Richie. Richie doesn't run the show anymore. Anything that I say, well, not anything, but some of the things I say, I've heard in AA and in the rooms. And I remember this fellow, he told me like his alcoholism was like an 800-pound gorilla, just doing whatever he wants, throwing me around the room, sitting on my chest, doing whatever he wants. Well, I don't have that 800-pound gorilla anymore. I have God in my life. You know, yeah. So the other day, I found myself in a jam. I took a friend out fishing on my boat. And on the way back home, he's like, hey, do you want to stop at Anthony's house? And I said, sure, why not? I pulled onto my friend's dock and we went to Anthony's house. And these aren't in the program, you know, and right away they're offering me beer. Have a beer, Rich. I'm like, no, thank you. And they're like, come on, have a beer. And they're like, I'm like, Anthony, I don't drink anymore, you know? And he just wasn't accepting that, you know? And then he's like, come on, do you want to smoke some DMT or DMS? I'm like, Anthony, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't even know what that is. And he's like, well, that's the thing Aaron Rodgers does. I mean, I'm like, you mean ayahuasca? He's like, yeah. I'm like, Anthony, I don't drink and I don't do drugs. Now, I don't expect this guy to understand anything about my addictions. I was just a little pissed off that he just wasn't hearing me, you know, and I talked to somebody about this. They're like, no, the word no is a complete sentence, you know. And then in the next breath, the guy says to me, do you want some coke? Do you want some cocaine? And here's my sick thinking. For a split second, I entertained that thought. And I was like, wow. And in my head, I had to do the serenity prayer. You know, the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know to get the hell out of that house. So I said to my buddy, Nick, I'm like, Nick, I got to go. I have to go to a meeting today. So this kid was just like, you were fun when you were drinking. You were. I go, Anthony, no, I wasn't. And I had to remind him, I had to qualify to him. I was like, you know, our friend Charlie, he pulled me out of the water when I was in a blackout and fell off the dock and hit my head and fell in the water in November. Or the time Charlie had to come to my vacant house because my fiance called him and said, go find Richie. I was in a blackout, sleeping in the middle of the winter in a vacant house in 20 degree weather. And he came, he's like, you're gonna freeze to death here. And he took me home. And I could think of, again, like at the beginning of my qualification, there's just so much wreckage in my past that I am looking forward to cleaning up, you know? So finally I got the hell out of there. And I called Bobby, I called another alcoholic, and I made a meeting. I had smart feet, you know? And yesterday, I was going to help out this young lady. She's going through some troubles and a bitter divorce, and we're taking it nice and slow. I'm not putting anything ahead of my sobriety, because with my experience, anything I put ahead of my sobriety, I'm going to lose. I tried to get sober to save my marriage. I tried to get sober to save a job. I tried to get sober to have my kids in my life, and it didn't work out. But today, that's totally different. With the power of God in my life and you men and doing service and calling other alcoholics and asking how you're doing today, it's not about Richie anymore. You know, I give it up to God and he takes it away from me. It's the most amazing thing. It's the most amazing thing. It's miraculous. And I'm not shy talking about this because I know you men understand these things, because I hear it when you share your stuff and you talk to me. You know, without God, I'm lost. You know, I heard this and I was like, wow, I'm gonna use that. Like, I didn't find AA. AA found me this time, you know. So yesterday I went over to this lady's house and I was like, please let me help you out. And, you know, I took care of her pool and I went and picked up a barbecue for her house, you know, and I met her daughter who's a special, she has special needs, you know, and she was such a cute little kid. And, you know, I've got five children of my own. I just love children. I just think they're a blessing. I became a grandfather for the first time. My children talk to me. They call me up. They're proud of me. People are seeing the change in me before I'm seeing it in myself. And I'm okay with that. You know, I wake up every day at 7:30 and I do the Zoom meetings and I feel recharged. It fills my heart. I open my eyes. I pray to God and it starts my day and I get on the Zoom meeting and I talk to you gentlemen and it just fills my heart. I feel it. I feel it. I don't let my brain run the show. You know, my best thinking got me here, you know, but I listen to my heart, you know, it keeps going back and forth. God is guiding. God is steering. I am rowing, you know. So yesterday I went to this lady's house in New Jersey and her friends came rushing over to meet me because they wanted to check me out. They're in the program. They were so kind and so nice. And we got invited to a barbecue. And I go to this barbecue, there's 15 total strangers, maybe more, you know, and I'm sitting there with her and I realized pretty quickly, you know, everybody's drinking water, everybody's drinking seltzer. They're like, here, they're so hospitable to me. And I could just feel the love, you know? And I'm gonna use her, Christine. You know, we're sitting shoulder to shoulder. We're just, this would be the third or fourth time we've seen each other. We talk on the phone till early morning and we're leaning into each other and our shoulders are touching and I could just feel the love from her. And she looks at me and she knows exactly what I'm thinking. She's like, yeah, everybody here is in the program, you know? So here I am in my friend's house, who I consider my friends, trying to push alcohol and drugs on me. And then the next day I'm with sober people. I refuse to put myself in these situations that got me drunk before. I surround myself now with people and men like you, you know, because I want what you have. I need what you have. My life depends upon it. I've been in and out of this program way too often, way too much. And I'm tired of that. My last bottom was horrific. Horrific. The obsession to drink was lifted this time immediately. Immediately. It was so bad. I was bloated. And I'm a retired firefighter, a New York City firefighter. And I get an annual 9/11. I'm retired because of 9/11. And I get to do an annual physical every year around December, give or take. And I can do it anytime I don't feel well. And I went for my annual physical And the nurse is looking at me and she's like, did anybody talk to you about this? I'm like, no, what do you mean? She's like, you've had an infarction. You've had a heart attack, a slight one, but you've had a heart attack. So I basically was drinking through a heart attack. You know, I was having chest pains, you know, and I was just thinking, I was just chalking it up to being hungover, you know. I don't want to, I can't even recall where it says it. We will not forget the past, but we're not going to shut the door on it. I have to keep that fresh in my mind. I know I have built-in forgetters because I picked up again. You know, I kept picking up. I kept doing, you know, that insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, and it got me nowhere. You know, God is all over my life. I am not ashamed to say that, you know. I called Jim yesterday from Lowe's when I was shopping for this barbecue, and it was a miracle, another miracle. Every day is a miracle. Well, Jim asked me to do service and I didn't pick a date. So I had my phone in my pocket and I pulled it out, and I had accidentally, I didn't do it, like God did this. I text messaged somebody, Dom A. So right away, I know it's somebody from the program because of the last initial. And I said, I'm sorry, I pocket texted you. Immediately, the guy texts me back. He's like, I am so grateful to see your name on my phone. And I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know who this guy is. So I call the number, I don't recognize the voice, and then it clicks in my head, Dom, I met you 20 something years ago. Dom, I knew a Dom 20 years ago. Are you Dom from Garrison Beach? But he didn't hear me. He didn't hear me. He said, this is Dom, the electrician. Dom, I'm from Bay Ridge. And I said, yeah, Dom from Garrison Beach. You met me. And it was the Dom. And what he's, you know, this guy, I caught my wife in an affair. I drove her to the arms of another man. I knew my marriage was in trouble. So I immediately got sober. You know, I'm like, I know I need to quit drinking again. My marriage didn't work out. And when I found out, I was sober for about a month. I headed right for the liquor store and drank down a bottle of Jameson and broke my hand and put my head through a window. And for the first time in my life, I was in those bracelets. And the fire department called the Port Authority police. The cops saw my badge. They called the fire department. They're like, don't let this guy out. Because the cops heard me telling my wife on the phone, I'm coming home and I'm going to kill you. You know? And that was my first trip to rehab. I went to the Veritas Villa. They're like, don't let him out. And the next day, my older brother, I'm going to get a little upset, I'm sorry. The next day, my older brother met me at court. And they took me to the counseling unit and they sent me to Cahokia, New York, to the villa. You know, I got out of rehab 28 days later and they wouldn't let me go home. I had four small children, babies. So I had to go live with my parents again. I felt like the biggest loser on earth. And I went to, like, it wasn't my first AA meeting. You know, I went to an AA meeting and they asked me to qualify. And I did qualify. These two guys made a beeline for me and they told me, we had to scoop you up. We had to scoop you up. And these guys took me to, they would pick me up. We would go to all different meetings. We would go to diners afterwards. We had a fellowship. And I even got to experience a 12-step call. We were at this diner in Bay Ridge. And this guy came over to our table. He wanted to kick all our asses. And he was intoxicated. And this guy, Dom, in about 5 minutes, started talking to him and 12-stepping him and telling him, I can help you. I can, like, with the kindness of God and just talking to him in a sober manner. Within minutes, this kid was sitting down at the table next to us, bawling his eyes out. And he's like, would you like for us to help you? We can get you a hospital bed. And within a half hour, we were in some hospital in Bay Ridge, and this guy was in a hospital bed. It was amazing. It was a miracle. I never since then experienced anything like that, but I did see the miracle of AA. I did see this happen. So this was the guy. By accident, I text message in my pocket. Now, I have a lot of contacts in my phone. How does that happen? If that is not God working in my life, I don't know. It was a miracle. And I got home. I got to go out to, we're having some issues with my children. Two of my children still live with their mom. She married the guy who is now a father to my children, a husband to my ex-wife. I got to spend the night out there. I went out there because we're having some issues with my daughter. She's struggling. My son is struggling with certain things. But because I'm sober today, I get to do these things. I get to do these things. And I went out there and I stayed over there. And this happened to me yesterday. And I got home from Lowe's. I went to Elaine's house, my ex-wife, before I went and visited Christine. And she's like, I know this woman 44 over 40 years. And she took one look at me. She's like, what's going on? She goes, what's going on? And I told her what happened. And she's like, get out of here. She's like, get out of here. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, Richie. She goes, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, what? She's like, we had a little screw up with the cloud and blah, blah, blah. And we had to use a new credit card to get something with the cloud. And my contacts got doubled up. So I was going just the other day. I was going through my contacts, deleting them, deleting them, deleting them. And she said to me, I came across this phone number. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to delete that number. She's like, I'm not going to delete that number. She had Dom's number in her phone. Her and Dom used to talk. They were, I forgot all that. I mean, it was 20 something years ago. She's like, you know how many times this guy talked me off the ledge? You know how many times I had to call him because of you, like you were drinking again. And, but talk about no coincidences in AA. Like another miracle happened after a miracle happens after the miracle. And I know that if I keep doing what I'm doing, God is going to do for me and more for me than I ever did in my entire life. I have a life today beyond my wildest dreams. I comprehend that now. I comprehend these things now. The Serenity Prayer means something so much different to me today. The 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have not yet done the work from 1 to through 12, and I am jumping into this work. I hear clearer. I see things clearer. I get it. I have had a spiritual awakening. God is doing for me. He's all over my life. And I want to stand. I called Jim right away. I'm like, Jim, you're not going to believe this, because he popped right into, after that happened in Lowe's, I'm like, oh my God, my head was going to explode. My heart just gets filled. And then it sends it to my head. And I'm like, I have to like say, this can't be real, but it is. It is. He put this woman back in my life. And we talk about things that we did as kids. Like she was 16 years old and I was taking her to bars. And I took the blame for it. And she's like, no, Richie, I made a conscious decision to do these things. She's 30 years sober. She got it. I was so happy to hear that she's 30 years sober. And we talk, and I'm not getting ahead of myself. I get high and low, and then I got to get grounded again. You know, I didn't know the things that I did to her. And she, and in talking and clearing up things, she's like, I had no idea you felt this way. And we're clean, we're, you know, that attraction is still there. We love each other without even saying it. And even if it doesn't work out between us, I get to clear up that past. I get to make amends, a living amends. I make living amends without doing that fourth step. Because let me circle back a little bit. I wrote down a list of men and people in my lives. I did a fourth step and then I couldn't do it. I told my sponsor, I resent everybody on my list. Everybody I ever met in my life, I have a resentment list. I can't do this, Barry. I can't do this work. I can't look at the man in the mirror. I was disgusted with myself. So I stopped it. I didn't have a God in my life. That was what the problem was. I didn't have a higher power. I didn't have prayer. I didn't have what I have today. So I walked away from AA again, once again, and I wound up drinking again and bottoming out. God is good. God is great. He loves me. He loves us. He doesn't want me to be intoxicated. There's a bigger plan. There's a bigger plan for me. You know, my children, my ex-wife, my ex-fiance, my son's flying down from Canada, July 30, staying till the 9th. Donna, his mother, she sees it. I drive up there all the time. She sees it in me. Everybody sees it in me. You guys tell me you see it in me. You hear it in me. You know me for I don't know how long I've been a member of Men Who Trudge. I have other home groups. I now reach out. I hear a guy saying, I'm 30 days back. And I go up to him now and I say, can I give you my number? And then I take service commitments. And I have men come up to me and say, hey, can I have your number? This is how it works. This is how it works. I can't transmit something that I don't have. But I can. I believe in my heart that if somebody came up to me and said, how did you do it, man? I can guide them. I can help them. I can tell them I don't have to be. Just like I was asked to qualify, I was writing things down and then I talked to Jim. I just threw it away. I'm like, I just have to speak from the heart. You know, Bobby Z is my sponsor. I love that man. He is just wonderful. He is a man of God. He is always doing something for somebody else. And he told me, he goes, I'm not just your sponsor, Richie. I'm your friend. He's like, my job was only to bring you to God, to show you God, to get you to God. And that's what he did. And that's what you men do for me on a daily basis. And if I stop doing those things, I know damn well what could happen to me. I have to keep it up front and fresh in my head. I have to go to meetings. I have to reach my hand out. You know, I look at those, I watch people come down those stairs. And I remember hearing this, you know, none of us came down those stairs on a winning streak. I always sit in front. You know, I made a dear friend and he would sit in the back. He would sit in the back and we're good friends now. We're fishing buddies. We hang out. We fellowship. We have a friendship outside of AA. That's something that I really never had, you know, friends that don't drink, you know. Now Adam sits up in front with me, you know. I heard this too and I love this. I love this. That moment of silence means so much. The moment of silence for those still sick and suffering out there. That means so much to me. because when I was out there, when I was sitting in my reclining chair, drinking bottles and bottles of vodka and shaking and detoxing and trembling in the shower and drinking and driving again after getting DUI'd and cursing and yelling and being abusive, verbally abusive to the people that I say that I loved, that moment of silence, you men were praying for me. You men were praying for me. The power of prayer, it works. Because I'm here to tell you, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm living testament to this. This works. I have a God in my life, and I'm pretty sure for the rest of the day, and when I put my head on the pillow, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning a sober, recovered man, a good human being, a man of God, you know, and I can't thank you men enough for being in my life, for being part of my life, for asking me to do service. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, God's willing, I live a long life. You know, I don't regret that past. I'll be 60 years old this August, and life is good. My world has gotten so big. And Jim, I love you, man. I love all you guys. And I can't thank you enough for asking me to do service today. So thank you all. Thank you all for letting me share. Thank you.